through 1932. That's 50 years ago. And he comes to life and you tell him what you are earning. Who will he get up for you? Such a salary. You follow. So it doesn't mean anything. And he's got altogether a different idea of a dollar, and it's the same word. It's no good if I tell you what the amount is. It just doesn't mean anything.
But even if he can't...
When you think of it, that Milton's salary was £20 a year. That is $40 a year.
I'll say how I can compare. I can say that the amount that he is giving her pursues...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Relation to the total...
Oh, I see the relationship to that. It's dizzy there. Gold zoos him and silver zoos him. I don't think it's going to be profitable to work out exactly how much it was in dollars and cents.
Now we could roll all back to zero value shekels.
Yes, I know accountants like to do that sort of thing. it doesn't help you. Right, you can't. All right.
The aim, notes the law, low
chadoshim,
Bimot,
Bimot Hagashomim.
Sorry.
Since we're last week at the school.
I hate to call you on this, but you didn't even ask me to read last week.
Yes.
How can you tell me?
Because I asked you just so.
You haven't asked me this in a year, and then I told you Sparta.
Yes, I just want to tell you the difference between the two. There are such a thing, again, you've got to realize the type of clothing that they wore. They didn't wear the type of clothing that we wear. And it was more or less in one piece, and it was big pieces. Unfortunately, these denims that they wear here is a good example of the clothing that they used to wear there. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed it as much as I've noticed it, that you get quite a good-looking young lady, and she makes a mess of her appearance by wearing denims that are in tatters. So once I stopped a girl, a really good-looking girl, and I said, excuse me, but your clothing is torn. She said, yes, I know. She said, that is as it should be. I said, well, I don't understand that, but when did you buy it? She said, I bought it a day or two ago. I said, in a second-hand shop. She said, what does a second-hand shop mean? I mean, is it clothing that has been used by others? She said, oh no, it was used, it was new. So I said, why does it look like that? She said, that is the fashion. We want to look, we don't want to look as if we are wealthy. We want it to be able to look like that. It's got to look like that. So you see the idea, wool patterns. Now we had another thing, and that was that in summer, it is better to have worn clothing than new clothing, because it's rubbed already, because it breathes in summer, and the new clothing in summer doesn't breathe. So he says, it says, no stain law, lo chadoshim b'yemot hachamo. One doesn't give her new clothing for summer, velosh chokim, and not rubbed clothing, that's used clothing, bimosak shomim in the rainy season. Elo, no, go on please. Elo?
Elo.
But what does Elo mean? But yes.
But no tain la, he gives to her, Kaelin.
Kaelin.
Kaelin shall kamishin.
Zoos.
Clothed
50 zoos. Of 50 zoos value. Uh-huh. Bimosa, go on.
Bimot hagashamim.
In the rainy season, that's in winter. In winter he gives her money so that she can buy herself new clothing, and she's got the new clothing for winter. Go on.
Mitkasa
Bibelo'otehen. Bibelo'otehen.
Bibelo'otehen.
And she covers herself with their tatters
in the summertime.
Tatters is perhaps not the best, the choicest of words, but the best word I can think of. Or with their rags.
With the looser clothing?
With the rags, when they're used already. Okay. She's worn them for the whole of the winter. And in summer she uses them, those same things, because that is the most comfortable, bimotachama. And with the used clothing, she uses in the bimotachama, yes? Vashachokim.
Shelo.
And the used clothing belongs to her. That is, for the next summer she gets new clothing again.
For the next winter.
For the next winter, yes. She gets, for the next winter, she gets new clothing. So these rubbed off clothing is her property. It remains her property.
This wouldn't still apply today, would it? I mean, you can understand when, now that we have different styles, different fashions, both in the winter and the summer.
You've got to see that the woman gets everything she needs. And these are minimum needs. These aren't maximum needs, as will become evident in a few minutes' time. These are minimum needs, and this is what a man must supply his wife with. And that applies to today in exactly the same way as it did then. If a man is going away, he's got to see that his wife has got these things. And the way we do it, if a man goes away, he's very careful to see that his wife has got money. If she's got a banking account, he sees that she's got money in the banking account. She says, I'm going away for a week, I'm going away for 2 weeks, I'm going to see to you that you're not shorting anything. But that's the din. If a person is a ben toro, he's very careful about that. And this is the whole spirit of the Torah. He'll never leave his wife with that. She hasn't got sufficient money. Her bent on this. He says, look, I can't get you all these things. But today, women go to a supermarket. It's easily available. They don't have to go out to a farm to get all these things. So this is what he sees. There's enough money in your to cover all these things. And he might even still ring up the bank manager and say, look, if my wife is short, please, it's another couple of $100, please help her out until I come back. But that's a ben Torah is very particular about that. This he has to do. Yes?
Excuse me, Rabbi. Yes. They all fall into the category of Kedat Moshe B'Yisrael as far as the
Oh, yes, very much so. Very much so, yes. That when you get married, then you say to your wife, you are betrothed to me with this ring according to the law of Moshe and Israel. And Israel, Moshe, is the law of the Torah, and Israel is the law of the Rabbonah. And this is what Rabbonah has made. We know that a man has got to feed his wife. So these are the laws, he says. The minimum, this is the minimum that he's got to give. Right? Vajachokim Shelo.
Shall I continue?
No, I think it's enough. Stuart?
Shelo in the same...
No, that goes on the Vajachokim Shelo. And the rubbed clothing, the used clothing, belongs to her. Period. Now something new. Notein la, are you Sephardic or Ashkenazi?
No same law.
I notice that you just choose for the day, you do for the week. You don't, all right. No same law, yes. Yes.
No same law, maha,
kesef. Now, the word is mo or kesef. What did you say, Sephardic or Ashkenazi?
Ashkenazi.
Mo or kesef. No same law, more or kesef. And the next word, please. Letelcho. Now, every Erev Shabbos, they used to give, not for Erev, for every week, she got a mo'o kesef. A mo'o kesef was just a very little bit. A mo'o kesef was a sixth of a dinar. How much a dinar was, I don't know. But it was a little bit of money, and this was just for her own private needs. She wants something, she wants to buy a handkerchief, she wants to buy some scent or anything like that. But that she's got that she had to have. Do they call it pin money here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do they use that expression? Yeah. They don't use it, pin money.
Pin money, pocket money.
Pocket money, usually it's pocket money. So just said, and then she's got this, she's got all her needs, but in addition to that, he gives her a more case of letzorcho. Now, those three words are very important for me today. More or case of letzorcho. He gives her a more or, that's the name of the coin is called a more or. And there were six more o's in a dino. No, mayos with an aleph and it's 100. This is with an iron and it's a sixth of a dinar. Mo'o kesef, he gives her a mo'o kesef every week, letzor cho, for her personal needs, yes?
The
ocheles,
imo,
milele
shabbos.
Lelele Shabbos. And that is, he comes back from New York every Erev Shabbos. And every Erev Shabbos he is home and he eats with her and she eats with him from every Erev Shabbos. That is, from Erev Shabbos and he spends the whole of Shabbos with her. And he mustn't tell her a story that he's going to spell Shabbos in Borough Park or one of these places. Crown Heights, Borough Park, Flatbush, whatever it is. He mustn't go and tell her any story like that. His duty is, from Leile Shabbos to Leile Shabbos, he comes home. And in another place in the Gemara, that he discusses, but what is it if he is a ambassador and he's got to travel, so then it's different. If he's a sailor, then it's different. So for those people they are different, but we are speaking about businessmen. A businessman, a man has got to see that he's with his wife from every Erev Shabbos. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is
just one moment, please.
Does it matter if the wife consents, or is this an obligation? In other words, can she waive his obligation, so to speak?
Yes, she can. She's got the right to waive obligations, but we don't like it. We don't like her to waive obligations because this is not, we are not, oh, we are first, primarily, we are interested in the woman. Secondarily, primarily, if I might be permitted that question, we are interested in the relationship between the man and the woman.
Right.
Very, very important. Thirdly, we are interested in the society in which they live. So she can waive as far as her own rights is concerned. But we don't like it because of the relationship between husband and wife. And sometimes you get a woman and she thinks she's very clever. She says, I don't mind if my husband, he's got to go, I don't mind if he goes away. Very clever. She's ruining her own life. And certainly, so we don't like it. And there's a question of society too. But she's got the right to waive it. I mean, we learned in the Gemara that the week of Sheva Brochas that the husband doesn't work, that belongs to the wife. That means that she can forego it. She can say, look, if you've got to go to work, I don't mind.
I thought we learned that the Sheva Brochas are for
the Sheva Brochas, but the week of not working.
Oh, right.
The week of not working, the not working belongs to her. That is her right. She can say to him, I waive it. But we don't like it. We don't like it, but she can say it. If he comes to Beis Din and he says, my wife, wait a minute, I asked her, did you wait? She says, yes. Well, what can I do? I mean, if a person owes me $1,000, or let's say if I owe a person $1,000, then I can waive it. he might not have enough. He might not have enough for his wife, and then he waives it. So if he waives it, I don't have to pay. But it's really, it's not a very clever thing to do. Right. The im ein yes, Stuart, the im ein yes. The im ein no say no more case of the tzorcho. Say it as if you really mean it. The im ein no say no more case of the tzorcho. More or? What does that mean? And if he doesn't give her this more or kesef for her personal needs, for her pocket money, he doesn't give her that. How is it possible that he won't give it to her? She doesn't ask for it. So this is a little bit over and above, you see. That works out from the Gemara. She doesn't ask for it, and he... if he was a good husband, he says, you know, this is for your needs, this is for, even if she doesn't ask. But yeah, she doesn't ask, he doesn't give. I'm told that there are such husbands, I've never met them. The imainosin law more kesef letzorcho, and if he doesn't give her the more kesef for her needs, then ma'asei shelah. Then her master, what is her master yodeo? I've forgotten the meaning of that now, Stuart. What does master yodeo mean? You didn't revise, do you?
No, you're
correct. I'm correct. Who is catching? Didn't revise it. The master yodeo is her earnings. Then her earnings belong to her. Then what she earns, she doesn't have to give it. Now it's going to be a very funny thing. It's going, can you see what difficulties we've landed ourselves in already? Mm-hmm. Yes, Charles, what is the difficulty?
The difficulty is this going to apply in the general case?
Is
this principle that we're saying now that because it's on an issue of spending money, she's entitled to her earnings, before we said that he was entitled to the
Matzah
because he's providing her with food.
Exactly, shelter. He's providing her with, so he is providing her with shelter. He's providing her with food. He's providing her with a bed. Because he doesn't give her the little bit of pocket money, she hasn't got to give him the Matzah. How do we understand this? This isn't right. So it's something wrong. Can you understand what it is? David, do you follow what I'm saying? So yeah, we've run, Philip, do you understand what the trouble is here? So yeah, we've run into difficulties immediately.
I just want to clarify, are we saying that her Masay Yudeha much greater volume of money than what you would give her?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's more or less. It doesn't matter. But the fact remains, why does the Masay Yudeha of an Isha belong to the Baal? Why?
So he can help provide for her needs.
It doesn't. That's not what we said. We didn't say because it can help. It is because he's chayav b'mezonos sale. He's got to give her mezonos. So the Chachomim said in that case that overall picture is mishul ketoto. Not because it helps him to provide her. It's going to lead to dissension here otherwise. She earns and she keeps what she earns, and he has got to provide her with food. So the mindset in your deal is connected. You understand my words? You stop me as soon as I don't use these words. So the mindset your deal is connected to mazonos. He's got to give her mazonos, and she gives mindset your deal. Now we see that he's got to give her mazonos, and if he just doesn't give her the small coin. The small coin, which in those days was a quarter, I suppose. Let us say today it's $5, $10, whatever. If he doesn't give her this pittance, then she doesn't have to give him a Maaseh Yodeo. This doesn't sound something wrong here. If there's something wrong, what does it mean? We don't understand it. Or we haven't got sufficient information. So we'll see with this is what we've got to learn. This is only a warming up exercise. But even warming up exercises become a stage. You've got to understand what it is you're doing and what it is you're saying. Yes?
What's
Kenegat? Kenegat, give me a good English expression.
Apposite.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that. It literally.
Parallels?
I beg your pardon?
In return for?
In return for. In return for. In return for, but the Mazonas is not quite in return for. In recognition. Literally, it means, and there is an expression in English, I don't know whether they use it in California, over against. They use over against, or over and against. He gives her, he's got to give her Mazonas, and the Chachomim were Mesakein, her Maisa Yodea belonged to him. But now it comes, Mazonas he's got to give her. And it says, but if he doesn't give her this pittance, this pocket money, this pin money, once a week on Erev Shabbos, if he doesn't give it to her, then we say that it belongs, then her cheating keeper might say you're dead. That isn't right. There's something wrong here. We'll see, you're right. We learn further, we'll find out, yes?
Just to clarify, does that go for all the things?
No, he says that if he doesn't give it to her, the im ain no say in law more case of let's ho, and if he doesn't give her this more or this silver more or for her needs, then ma'a say your deo she law. Her Maisa Yodeo belongs to her, and this doesn't square, because he still has to give her all he's got to give her, that even if she doesn't ask. But and he really the more occasive for Letzercho, he should give her that even if she doesn't ask. But he keeps quiet about that, and she doesn't ask. Doesn't ask, but she can keep her Maisa Yodeo. That she can keep. So that's not right here. Something is wrong here. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In other words, in the event that she doesn't ask,
yes,
he's justified in not.
No, not justified. But she is justified in keeping a Maisa Yodea. I'm just, please don't think I'm pedantic in this.
No.
But this is the way, it's important. Because how the whole picture, you know, don't forget you're only getting it in pieces. And I've got the whole picture in mind, yes?
Is that, perhaps the Gemara will get into this, but is that the kind of situation where someone can make, recognizing that situation, can make restitution retroactively? In other words, the husband can say, I've missed it now for 6 months every
yes.
Shabbos, but here I'll pay you a lump sum to make up for
yes,
it.
Yes, that is bound up with a lot of questions. That is bound up with a lot of questions come up in that. How much is it worth more? Is it worth the same? And what is? And she's already used her Maisa Yodeo. She's already used it. And as then he says, now I'm giving to you one. A lot of questions come up with that. That is something already that it depends on certain details. We've got to get a very clear picture of this first, right? Yes, Larry.
What's Mazona?
Are you Sfarik or Ashkenazi?
Sfarik.
Mazonot is food. Gives her food. All these things that he can there, that is food. He's obliged to give her. Are we pardon?
The particular would be just the Mazonas. You use that for all kinds of food?
Yes, all kinds of food. Yeah, we've got the details. Yeah, everything is given in detail. You see, if he's at home, you don't worry about these things because he sees to it that there's food in the house. He sees to it. Yes?
Mazonas in these terms really means sustenance. So it
is sustenance is correct.
Her housing and her clothing. Or does it, when we say Mazonas?
No. Sure. Mazonas, that is ksus. Clothing is ksus. Mazonas is her food.
Exclusively what she eats.
What she eats, yes. Yes, what she eats. That's Mazonas. That's really, strictly speaking, it's what she eats, yes. Right, come on.
We're, we're thinking about the minimum requirement.
Yes.
Is the pin money part of the minimum or is it not?
Part of the minimum requirement.
But this we're saying he doesn't necessarily have to give it to her.
Well, he does have to give it to her, but what happens if he doesn't give it to her? She doesn't ask, and he doesn't give it to her.
If he doesn't give her any of those cards.
Oh, then it's a very serious matter.
I mean, any one of the specifics.
Oh, then she can claim it. She can claim it in the Beis Din. And if he isn't there, then the apotropos goes into his property, goes to his bank, and takes the money or sells his goods that she was after.
So suppose he only gives her 3 portions of wheat instead of 4, then she's also still able
to... Well, what they would do, they would probably say to her, he's away. How much did he give you? She said, only gave me 75% of what I need. Can you manage? If she says, well, I can manage, but you know I'm hungry. Then they say, all right, we'll attend to it. Then the apotropos or the shlish receives instructions from the Beis Din, or he asks the Beis Din for permission, and he goes and he sells this man's goods, whatever that is, he sells it, or he borrows it, and then when the man comes back, he gives him a cheshbon, or he lends it himself, he gives him a cheshbon, gives him a reckoning, this is what you've got to pay.
So we're trying to find out, is it only in the case of the pin money that people...
Only the case of the pin money, yes. David, please. Umahi.
Umahi. Kosa.
Are you Spanish or Ashkenazi?
Ashkenazi.
Umahi Osolo.
Umahi.
The Umahi Osolo.
Umahi Osolo.
Osolo. Yes, that is the question. Ask the Mishnah, Umahi Osolo, and what does she produce for him? Now we are coming to this point, and actually it was raised last week, and I said, don't worry about it, we've come to it. And that is, we say, he's got to give him his own nurse. It's clearly laid down. What is the minimum he's got to give her is clearly laid down. And what is the minimum that she has got to produce? Her earnings... Oh, you weren't here last week. Oh, you weren't here. Her earnings, what she earns, goes to her husband. He has got to give her food. And over against that, the Chachomim instituted that her earnings go to the husband. So we know what food he's got to give her. We've got to go through all that. Now the great Umahi Osolo asks the Mishnah, and what does she do for him? Literally, and what does she do for him? It means, and how much is she expected as a minimum to earn for him? Answers the Mishnah.
Did not we learn that if she were rich, for example, and brought a dowry and servants and
whatever,
then she doesn't have
to. Of course. If she brings in a dowry and he's got the pharaoh still of the dowry and she brings in enough for servants and all that, of course she doesn't. She sits, and if she brings enough and there are 4 servants, 5 servants, she sits on the cathedra.
What's the cathedra?
Cathedra means on the... a very comfortable chair. And they don't use the word here in Europe, on the continent, I'm sorry, it's not in England, on the continent, you speak about a professorial chair. Do they still use these words here?
Oh, yes.
A professorial chair. On the continent, it's called a cathedra. Taken straight out from here. It's called a cathedra. We call ex cathedra, that's quite right. Yes. But it comes to Susan's Latin, yes. But this is that's exactly the same word, yes. David, so the Mishnah asks the Mishnah, Umahi Osolo, and what does she do for him? Answers the Mishnah, Mishkan.
No, Hamish.
Shloim Shesi
Bihudo.
Have you ever heard of this expression? A Shesi Ve'erev. You've never heard of the expression Shesi Ve'erev. Nobody has ever heard of that expression. Have you ever heard of the expression walk and woof?
Yeah, sure.
That you've heard of.
Yes.
And Shesi Ve'erev you've never heard of.
A what if
a walk and woof.
No, what was the fourth that?
That you know.
No,
I know. Also, you don't know warp and woof.
I don't know.
Of course we know.
It's the man which
of the moon. Yeah. Well, the length and the breadth, you see. Right. Now, Shesi and Erev is the length and the breadth.
Warp and woof is what? The length and breadth of what?
You put it into a loom, you're weaving a piece of cloth. Shesi and Erev is this.
Record is.
Is there compulsory
education?
Yeah.
It doesn't appear so, does it?
Now, Shesi Ve'erev, you know, we don't like using, I know that there's no cheder education. I thought at least they'd make you go to school. Yeah. Now, you know, we don't like using. We don't like using words for things that aren't so nice. The Rambam says, why do we call it Loshon Kodesh? So there are several reasons why. The Rambam has got one reason, the Ramban has got another reason, and the Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has got another reason, the Kuzari has got a third reason. The Rambam's reason is because for any indelicate word or expression, we use a euphemism. It's not that we use a euphemism, we just haven't got the word for it. We haven't got the word for it. That's why it's Loshon HaKodesh. It's a holy language, I haven't got a word for it. You've got to use it. It's used in a euphemism. That's the way it's used. You follow? So, for example, if a man and woman live together, the sexual intercourse, the word for that is tashmishamito, the use of the bed. So that's the word, that's as far as we will go. We've got no other word for it. Yes?
Yes,
bio is a euphemism. Exactly. What does bio mean? Bio means coming. The word bio means coming. Mm-hmm. It's a euphemism. We haven't got a word. We're absolutely right. The word bio is coming.
But is bio ever used in any other sense?
Oh, yes.
In other words, if you say bio, you may
have
something else in mind.
Yes. You say tia, bio, sober, sure, tobu, matsu, mutslakas. May his coming be at a propitious moment. Is coming be at the moment that will be is coming. He said, Motai Tavo, when are you coming? He said, Macha. I'm phoning someone to Israel and say, Motai Tavo, when will you come? He says, Macha. I'm coming tomorrow, I'm reaching Los Angeles tomorrow. You say, Tehibia Techa B'Sha'ash Lo B'Sha'ah Tova. It may be a good moment when you arrive. You follow? So it's a euphemism. We use it. Is the Rama we use it for that? What's the difficulty?
The difficulty I'm having is just remembering earlier in the Gemara, which we have, which seems to me not to be euphemistic language at all.
Pesach Pesua. What does Pesach Pesua mean?
An open door.
It doesn't say that he didn't find that in English, what would you say?
Hymen was ruptured.
A hymen. Hymen is used for that. We haven't got a word for that. We call it Basuli. Basuli means young girls. I mean, it's not a proper word, you see. It's a euphemism. Pesa Basula was a down an open door. And that's the word you use. I say, leave the door open. Let the door be Pesa Basula. Let the door be open. I don't want the door closed.
Okay.
I say, Auntie right. Scores are there. Aniro seche adere tia ye patua. Peter patua, Aniro. They wanted the door to be open. You follow? Yes. That's normally that we would. The everything is, that's what the Rambam says, everything is only a euphemism. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you. Are we following?
There's a change from
the Yes. Yes. Terrible, isn't it? They use five-letter words nowadays quite openly, but we never did that.
Euphemism for a four-letter.
We never did that, right?
Rabbi, if these sexual parts of the body can be used in a holy way as just as in a profane way, just like any other part of the body, why should there be euphemisms for this part of the body and not for your arm or any other part?
Because we have already brought these things down, but we won't do it in the holy language, that we won't do. But we have already made these things that they are not. That is why people wear clothes. That's what the Rambam says, why do people wear clothes? Because as soon as the first man and woman tasted of the fruit, and they tasted of the fruit for what reason?
Not because
and the woman saw that the food was good and it was tasted good and it was pleasant. That's what she wanted it for. So it was for sensuous reasons. Once then the whole thing fell to pieces. Then the whole system fell to pieces. Then they realized that they what it was and they were ashamed. But until then, they weren't ashamed. And that's the Rambam explains it like that. You follow? So once it is that, then they will be using euphemism for it. We won't use that word for it. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Now, a cross. We don't like using the word cross. So we call it a shesi v'eref. The length and the breadth. We call it a shesi v'erev. That's the word we use. So I don't know, when you want to use the word cross, you won't say cross, you'll say shesi v'erev. You follow, so it's never used, we never use the word cross.
Is that reluctance post-Christian, or?
Of course.
Is that word then actually appear in the Torah?
That's in later writings, no. That's in much later writings. It's not that we call it a shesi v'erev. We won't use the word. Even when we speak English, we won't use the word, because unless we are speaking to Gentiles. But if we are speaking to Jews, we will say shesi v'erev. You follow? I mean, in Los Angeles, you can go through a street and you don't see a shesi v'erev. But there are places in the world you go through, you can't move. Wherever you go, there's a shesi v'erev. But that is it. It's the length and the breadth. That's what we use here.
If you just indicated a moment ago, if you were speaking in English, how would you
agree with? Yes. A shesi v'erev, I say.
You would say that in English?
I say it in English, too.
You wouldn't even say it's a warp and a woof.
No, I wouldn't. Unless I was speaking to a Gentile. And if I was speaking to a Jew who doesn't know what it means, then I'd stop to use it. So you should ask me what it is and not explain to me what it is, you see. A shesi v'erev, we would say. Now, the shesi is the length and the erev is the width. And it seems that it was more difficult to weave the length than it was the width.
Why, I don't know. I can only surmise. It's not my subject. I can only surmise, because when you do the width, you've already got the length. And so it's easy to do, to weave in the... I can only surmise that that is. I'm not sure.
Oh, Rabbi, I've done a little bit of that. Is it, you have to get all the tensions the same and all the length.
In the length.
Elaborate process.
I see.
Once it's all set up, it's very easy.
It's easy to do that. Anyway, that may be, as I say, I don't know these things. So now, David, so it's Umahi O Solo, Mishkal Chomesh Sholim Chomesh Sloim Shesi, that the Shesi, the length she weaves in those days, the women, a big thing that the women did was the weaving. The weaving was important. So she weaved the weight of Chomesh Sloim in the length, be Yehudo, in Yehudo. Please say it, David. Mishkal?
Mishkal?
Yes.
Chamesh?
Sloim?
Sloim?
The weight of five Sloim. Shesi? Be Yehudo, for the length of something in Yehudo, that is how much it must be. Shehein,
Asher,
Shehein Eser,
Eser, Solim,
yes, the Golil, which is 10 Sloim in Golil.
What is this
fine? Pardon? It was a Selah. Shehein Eser Sloim Begolil, which are ten Sloim in Galil.
I don't understand that.
The in Yehudo, the in Galil. The weight in Yehudo was twice that of in Golil.
Okay.
The weight, you see, the weight of the selah in weight in Yehudo was twice that as in Golil. So it was 5 sloim in Yehudo, which in Golil was 10 sloim. It was just a different weight. Now, you use a pound here, don't you? In Europe, you also use pounds and kilograms. And now in England, they don't use pounds at all anymore. But in Europe, you use pounds and kilograms. The pound in Europe is heavier than the pound here in America. You use gallons in Europe. In England, you used to use gallons, and gallons in America. The gallon in England was larger than the gallon in America. They used dollars in USA, and they used dollars in Canada. The dollar here is worth more. And so they in Yehudo, the weight was twice that it was coming from. The weight in Yehudo was twice that it was in Golil. Have you got it? Philip, got it. Right? So therefore, what she used to do is, the shesi had to be 5 sloim in Yehudo, which is 10 sloim in Golil. Mishkal.
Asher.
Eser.
Eser, sorry.
Sloim. Erev. Or the weight of 10 sloim of the Erev, the width of the cloth, be Yehudo, which is easier to do it. So there they had to be in Judas 10, the weight of 10 sloim. Go on, Shehein. Shehaim. Esrim. Sloim. Begolio. Which were 20 Sloim in Golio. Got it?
Yeah.
Which were 20 because the Yehuda one was twice that of the God was 2, yes. Carry on the next one, please, Phil.
I don't have it.
You don't have it? I'll come back to you, Phil. Rabbi Yaakov Dovi? Svardik or Ashkenazi? The Im Hayata may Mikar. And if she was nursing, you understand what that means?
Yes.
She had a child. The Im Hayata may Mikar, if she was nursing a child, yes. That's how, what does that mean?
You reduce the amount that she's required to give for her earnings.
She's required to produce. You reduce what her productivity must be with regard to her work. Go on.
And you increase the amount that she will be given for her sustenance.
For sustenance. So the husband must give more sustenance and she gives less. So we see that it's not a quid pro quo. It's just to avoid the katata. Yes, finish it all, please, for me, Rabbi Yaakov David.
Amurim.
Now this last sentence covers the whole Mishnah that we have learned. Says the Mishnah, Bameh Devarim Amurim. When are these words spoken? That means, when do we say all this that we've said in the Mishnah? Next two words, please.
On me, Shiva Israel. It applies, in other words, to the poor.
To a poor person in Israel. All this is to a poor person in Israel. Avol
b'mechubad hakol afi kvodo. But to somebody honored, then it applies according to
his honor. But if he's he's a person of status, of standing, of substance, then it's according to his standing and to his status and to his substance. Because the din is, and this is the din that is paskin the halocho in the Rambam, and this is our din, that a man must love his wife as he loves himself. But a man must honor his wife more than he honors himself. Love as he loves himself. But honoring, what is honoring to? Show honor. He must honor her more than he honors himself. That is the deal. So if he is a man of substance, of standing, then of course this is the minimum here that we've discussed. Then, of course, he gives according to his status. According, he gives according to that, which is understandable. Yes.
Is a man, therefore, is there an actual fee for a man to provide for his children?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
for the small children, of course. Yes. For, of course, is a fee.
Okay, where's the fee? I mean, is it considered a mitzvah
this
can a child take his father to Beit
Hakom? I just want to tell you, Mark, you've got to be very careful when we make the say they've odom lemokum and they've odom lechaveru and they've odom leatzma. These laws, these divisions apply only if you understand, and if it's done expressly in the context that everything is a bein odom lemokum, that everything is between man and God, that even the law that I must love my neighbor as myself is between man and God. You say, actually, it's quite right, it's got Kirkira, it's got Hashem in it. Any law that you must pay a man his wage on the day that he earns it. If he earns it, he works for you for your day, pay it to him before he goes off the job. That you've got to pay him, that is, you can only understand it as a Bein Odom L'Chaveiro if you know that it's a Bein Odom L'Mokka, that is between man and God. Then, so the division between Bein Odom L'Mokka, Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, Bein Odom L'Atzmo, I hope you all understand the language that I'm using. That division is only a technical division. You follow? It's only technically it works out like that. What it is, what does it sound like? You follow? What are these? That a man must love his neighbor, and say, you say, well, that is between two people. But in essence, in every mitzvah is a Bein Odom L'Mokka. We haven't got any idea that you do anything only because this is conventional to do so. And if the, even if the Chachomim say this is the din, that in itself becomes a din tovah. And you know that, you remember that I did that with you in the Chumash, I did that with you. Have you got the idea? So it's only be very careful not to fall into that trap. In Judaism they do this, they love doing this. And they don't realize that it is only, we can only speak, that's why it's going to dinner. It's only technically, that's all. Right, now let us get on to the Gemara, the new Gemara that we've got to do. Having fun?
I'm not sure that answers the question. This is certainly an absolute chiyuv.
Oh, this is absolute chiyuv, yes. This is a minimum. This is a minimum, this is an absolute chiyuv. A chiyuv is it's more than an obligation. More than, this is a duty, an obligation, a debt, whatever it is. But this is got to give. And if he doesn't give this, then they've got the right to go, unless the man hasn't got. But we are speaking about an oni. This is a poor person, and this is the very least that a poor person gives. It sounds much more than it really is. You know, when you say two kavim of chiti. But don't forget that the woman has to take the two kavim of chiti and she's got to grind it down and make her a meal out of it. From two kavim of chiti, she's only got enough bread for the week. And from that she's still got to make other things, so for that she's got two kabim of barley to help her out with some other things. And perhaps during the week, for Shabbos she uses the chitin, for that she uses the barley, and she mixes it a little bit. She gets it, but she can, on this she can live. Are we pardon? It didn't seem, I thought you might have sounded.
In fact there is no meat or fish whatsoever.
That's not mentioned there. That's not mentioned.
It's Shabbos.
Shabbos, yes. Shabbos, that's another. Shabbos, that's another. Right. All right. Now, please, we've on to now. Daf Samachay on the base at the bottom of the bay of the page. At the bottom of the page. Listen. Says the Gemara, Toni Tana Kamei de Rova. Yes, Toni Tana.
Toni Tana Kamei.
Kamei.
Kamei
de Rova. Yes. Now, Toni Tana Kamei de Rova means. A Tana, you know what a Tana is. A Tana is the authority that is in the Mishnah. Toni, one learned what a Tana said before Rava. In other words, it's a Beraisa. One learned a Beraisa, a certain man learned a Beraisa before Rava.
We don't know who the person is. Toni Tana Kame de Rava. It was learned before Rava. What was learned before Rava? Please go on. Rava is an Amora. It's one of the last Amora Roim. It's the end of the Amora period, yes?
Right. Messiah Ka'isha.
Yes.
La'atma. The signs of a woman are hers.
Yes.
Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Babala.
Yes.
Rabbi Akiva says there's her husband.
Oh, and Rabbi Akiva says that it belongs to her husband. Now, here we've got to understand something. From the Mishnah, what do we know? The Tiyatu Ishilabalo. From the Mishnah, we know that the Tiyatu Ishilabalo. But you remember that when we did this last week, I explained to you that because he gives her mezonos, the Chachomi Mesake were Mesake, that what does she get? What does she give? Mata Yodel. Because he is Chai Befir Kono. What does Befir Kono mean, David? Her redemption. If she's kidnapped or she's taken captive, he's got it. He is Chai Befir Kono, so that Bechomi were Mesake. Therefore, what does he get?
He gets her weight.
No, that's for Mazonas.
Yusufrau,
Peres. So he eats the Peres, you Elcher Peres. He gets the usufruct. Right? He gets the Peres. So for Pirkono, he gets the Peres. For Kaburoso, he's got to bury her. So what does he get for that? No, he gets a kesuvah, that's right. He gets a kesuvah. If she dies, then any problem. Are we pardon?
What is he getting? We're getting the kesuvah.
When everything, when she brought property into the marriage, to whom does the property remain? To long?
Her.
When she dies, he inherits it.
He gets Yerusha.
You follow? But he inherits. But what does he inherit? What has she got? It's his. But the things that she's got in her own right, and she maintains that in her own right during the period of the marriage. If she predeceases him, it's hers. If he divorces her, it's hers. But if she dies, she predeceases him as his wife, then he yashens it. Why? That he's got to do her kura. He's responsible for the kura also. So everything is covered. Everything is covered. So her Meister Yodel, her Kesubo, her Peres, everything is covered. Do you notice there's one thing wasn't covered?
The
Tzio wasn't covered. So the Tzio wasn't covered. Now, Matzio, you remember I told you what was Matzio?
I'm sorry, you missed
you picked up all right.
And
Matzio, why was Matzio? Did we discuss it at all last week?
Before she finds.
Are we pardon?
Before she finds.
Yes, but why should that belong to the husband? For what? What is the quid pro quo here? What is the arrangement? This is the word, lovely word, ketoto, you can hear it, ketoto, you can hear its distinction. There shouldn't be ketoto, there shouldn't be any distinction. Got it? So the material is for ketention or evil. Evil is hostility. That there shouldn't be hostility and there shouldn't be distinction, you see? So therefore, that is the idea of the Matzio. Got it. But this is the one that's left hanging in the air. This is the one that's left hanging in the air. So if there's any machlokas, we can understand that the machlokas would be with Matzio. So here we've got a case of Matzio, where
The Tamakama says, La Atzmo, it belongs to her, and Rabbi Akiva says, La Balo. Rabbi Akiva seems to say, like the Mishnah, and the Tamakama says, it belongs to her. Now, this was a floating Baraita. It wasn't in a Mishnah. This is a statement of Tanoi. It's not in the Mishnah. I want to explain to you how it comes to be quoted here. Now, this person who comes and quotes this Tana to, that is, he quotes a Braisa to Robo, and he says, this is what I've learned, it's come down to me as a Braisa. It's not in a Mishnah, it's not in the Tosefta, it's not in the Mechilta, it's not in the Sifri, it's not in the Sifro. Those are the five works where the statements of the Noim have been collected. And he says, this is what I have learned. It's floating, but I've learned this, and it's a tradition that I've got, so it means something. And he says it to Rova. Carry on, please, Milton. Shoni Tano Kameida Rova. He learned it in front of Rova. What did he learn?
Messiah, Taisha, the Asmas. The
Messiah
of the woman are hers.
Oh, well, the Messiah of the woman is hers, and Rabbi Akiva Omer?
Rabbi Akiva Omer,
Levalo. Levalo. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with our Mishnah.
No.
Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her husband. Please forgive me. Rabbi Akiva agrees with our Mishnah, and the Tanakama of the Baraita does not agree with our Mishnah, but says it belongs to her. Omar Le, go on.
Okay, Omar Le.
What does that mean? He said, what is Le?
He said to her.
No, no.
He said,
yes, he said, Omar is, he said, but what does Le mean?
To him,
of course. Oh, are we fine?
Who said to whom?
That's what I want to know. Who said to whom?
Roman.
Rava said to whom? It's not the Tana because it was long after.
The person that came before him.
The person that came before him to quote the Spiraisa.
Can you call the Tana Kama?
No, you can't. Hey, Rava can't say to the Tana Kama. It's the same as if I would say, you said to the Rambam.
It's a different phrase over here. That's the same thing.
That's why I was so careful in explaining it to you, that you shouldn't go wrong in it. Toni Tana Kameda Rova, a certain one learned what the Tana said with the Baraita before Rova. Vasiya so Ishala Atsu Rabbi Akiva Omalaba Omar Le. He said to him, that is, Rova said to the person who told him this, yes.
Hashto.
Now, Uma. Hashto means now.
Oh, now.
Now. It is now. Now listen. Now. Hashto is now. Now let me just explain to you to understand and we are going to use a new expression, and that is ha'adofo. Ma'aseh yodeo, you know what it means. Not only do we now know what ma'aseh yodeo means, we know even the amount of Ma'aseh Yodeo that she's got to produce. That if it is Shesi, she's got to produce five shekolim in, the weight of five shekolim in Yehudo, the weight of ten shekolim in Golil. If it's the Erev, she's got to, we know exactly what it is that she's got to produce. You follow? Erev, she's got to produce more. We know exactly what it is. Her Adofo is, the amount she produces over and above the requirement. What do you use in English for that? The surplus, good. Right. That is called the ha'adofo. Now, the question is, what happens to the ha'adofo? To whom does the ha'adofo belong? Does the Adofo belong to her, or does the Adofo belong to the husband? The Ma'aseh Yodeo belongs to her, belongs to him. But the question is, to whom does the Adofo belong? To whom does the surplus belong? So, Now Rava says, you know, I don't like what you are saying. You are saying that Rabbi Akiva says that her metzio belongs to her husband, whereas the Tana Kamo says that the metzio belongs to herself. You, says Rava to this person, you are quoting me this Baraita because you want me to tell you whether this is right. Did the Tana Kamo say that it belongs to her? And Rabbi Akiva say to Babak, this sounds right. He says, Omar Lay said Rava to him, Hashto now. Say further, Milton,
Umar
for Adofo.
And
now the Hadofo. Now let us take the Adofo. Let us take the surplus. Hashto now. Umar who Adofo. The surplus and the next three words on top there.
Okay.
The, it should be. The ma'aseh yodeohi. Now, what is ha'adofo in the surplus? To what category does it belong? Does it belong to Matsio, or does it belong to Peiros, or does it belong to Kasubo? What does the surplus belong to?
It belongs to the ma'aseh yodeohi.
Right. So he says, now, well, into what category would it fall? The ador for the surplus. To what category does it belong? We are only dealing with her Maaseh Yodeh. We are dealing with the payros of her Nechosim, and we are dealing with her Ketubah.
Yeah.
So what does the surplus belong to of those three? It can only belong to one category.
What her minimum wage?
We've got three categories, A, B, and C.
Why can't it belong to Peiros?
Well, Peiros is where the fixed amount belongs to her, and he is the Peiros. So how does this apply here? I've got to find the category, you see, to which it, there are only three categories. To which category does it belong?
It can't be a category on its own, then.
No, it doesn't exist, you see. It must be one of those three categories. To which category does it belong? So he says, Uma ho adofo, it take ha adofo, the Maisi Yodeo he. That is Maisi Yodeo, it belongs to Maisi Yodeo. And Omar Rabbi Akiva, go on, Omar
Rabbi Akiva,
the Atmo. Rabbi Akiva said that belongs to her. Now that is a statement that Rabbi Akiva made, and that is the way Rabbi Akiva, that is what he holds. He says that the Maaseh Yodeh belongs to the husband, there is no question. But says Rabbi Akiva, the Adofo belongs to her.
Except on her earnings above the required amount.
She's required to produce of a shesi 5 sloim in Yehudo and 10 sloim in Goril, and of the Erev 10 sloim there and 20 sloim there. Now what happens over and above that? She does produces more. The question, to whom does that belong? Rabbi Akiva says that belongs to her. Any over that belongs to her, says Rabbi Akiva. So now Rava says, look here. If Rabbi Akiva says that even the Adofo, which is Maaseh Yodeo in essence, belongs to her, now the unknown quantity is Metzio. He says that if there is Metzio, it's a question whether it belongs to him or to her. And we know that Rabbi Akiva, there are two opinions. Then Rabbi Akiva would certainly be the opinion that would say that it belongs to her. How can he say here, Rabbi Akiva ome lebalo? Said Rava, this price that you tell me doesn't sound right. Don't think. So I want you to understand how it comes here at all. What is brought to you, is that clear?
Why she has no role.
Did you say no when I said is it clear? Did you say?
I said it is clear because she has no role in the things she finds. She walks down the street and finds something there it is. But her earnings, if we're going to say
my thing of it, we've got a directive as far as the earnings are concerned. So this is the surplus, says Rabbi Akiva. Now surplus belongs to her. Now we know that there are two authorities in Mitzvah. One says it belongs to her, one says it doesn't, it belongs to her husband. So, and Rabbi Akiva is one of those. And with our Dofo, Rabbi Akiva says that it belongs to her. Then Mitzvah, Rabbi Akiva would certainly be the one who says it belongs to her. That is the whole question, which is very simple. And mathematically it works out, yes?
Okay, I'll.
You deserve judgment.
Draw with any question over tonight.
Yes. Is it getting dark again?
No. It's not light again.
Yes. All right.
A question on Hadofa.
Yes.
We're obviously talking about an Ani B'Yisrael over here.
Ever?
An Ani B'Yisrael.
No. Yeah, we don't know.
Because if the whole point is that if he is already giving Hakol Lefikavodo.
Yes.
Then he is giving more than ordinarily, which means if he is giving more, then she is giving back
all
the minimum requirement.
If it's going to cause any difficulties, let us work on the minimum.
Okay, so
let's work on the minimum, yes.
Okay.
We can't go wrong then, right?
There's still a question, though.
Yes.
Another question, though.
Now the next step that the Gemara is going to take is the Gemara is going to prove to you, bring its source, that Rabbi Akiva says that the Ha'adofo belongs to her. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Don't go away.
I can see.
Just before you can see, let us first get this little piece.
If Rabbi Akiva would have said Messiah belongs to her, I can see it's drawing a logical conclusion that therefore Adafa belongs to her.
Yes, but
drawing it backwards,
I don't
see it easily. Because Adafa, she seems to have more claim to. She put in her time to generate it. Messiah, she didn't put in any time. She has married your husband and stumbles upon this brick in the road and has the brick out.
Well, we're going to see that. You see, let us get a little bit more information before we can do it. We haven't got enough symptoms to even make the diagnosis. Let us gather the symptoms together and then we won't go wrong with the diagnosis. Yes? Thank you very much, Mrs. Thank you.
Does the adult have to be converted into karka?
Belongs to him. He can do what he likes with it.
Belongs to her.
Well, we don't know yet. We're in the middle of it. We don't know what it is yet.
But the rabbi just gave it away.
No. We don't know what it is yet. Now, go on from there. It says Rovo. In the case of Adofa, which in essence is Maaseh Yodeo, it's an extension of Maaseh Yodeo. That's what it's the excess of Maaseh Yodeo. Omer Rabbi Akiva la'atzmo, it belongs to her. Please go on, Milton, before we.
Oh, Messiah,
Messiah
slow. Messiah so.
Messiah so. Lo. Lokonskein?
Lokonskein.
Messiah, then her Messiah, all the more reason. All the more reason should be belong to her. If we say that the Adofa, which is really an extension of the Maaseh Yodeo, and where there would be a reason to say that it belongs to the husband, we say it belongs to her, then in the case of the Metzio, where we've got nothing to hang it on to, it should certainly belong to her. So, see, I can understand that Rabbi Akiva would say that the Metzio belongs to her.
Right.
That's what it is. Now, this nun, carry on from there, David. This nun, because we learnt in the Mishnah,
Codename?
Codename. Now, I've got to explain that word codename to you. Codename.
The word is a word korban. A korban means a...
Korban.
Yes. Now, principle is a principle in the Dory. In the Dory. Now, you know the difference between a neder and a shvur.
No.
One is neder and one is
shvur. I mean, pardon? A neder is what we call an isur chetzo. An isur chetzo. That is, that the isur, the prohibition, is placed on the object. And a shvur is an isur gavra. That is where the prohibition is placed on a man. So if a person wants to make a neder that he's not going to smoke, and he says, I make a neder that I'm not going to smoke, that doesn't mean anything. Because a neder has got to be on the object. So what he would say is, all tobacco is forbidden to me. Then it's on the object. If he makes a shvur, he says, I will not smoke anymore. That is a shvur, because that is on the person. Now, in for a neder, what one has to do there's got to be what we call bituisaposai. He's got to articulate and express clearly what it is that he intends to do. So he says a very common way of doing a neder is, he says, sometimes a person gets annoyed with somebody, he doesn't want to eat anything at his house. So he says, all food that belongs to that person is to me like a korban. What is a korban to him?
Awesome.
He can't do anything with it. He can't eat it, nothing at all. He can't even use it. He can't even lean on it. If he says this animal is a korban, he can't even lean on the animal. He can't do it. He can't do anything with it. So he says, that person's food is to me like a korban. Have you got it?
Assuming the person that says that is not a Kohen.
I beg your pardon?
Assuming the person that says that is not a Kohen.
Look here, even a Kohen, he's got to deal it with great things. So he says, let it be like a korban. Now, another way, there is the word korban, and there is the word konei. There is the word co-name. And co-name is a word that is used instead of korba. And it's come down in language. You know, making vowels, the word co-name is used. Now look what has happened here. It's not because we learned in a Mishnah. Koname she'ani oseh leficho. She says, koname she'ani, let it be like a korban, anything that I make for your mouth. You have seen? So really what it means, any maisa yodeo of mine, let it be for you. Koname, she gets annoyed with her husband. Let it be konei. That means, let it be like a korban. So what has she done? She's made a neder. Michael, are you with me?
You
worried, what's this got to do with what we were learning before?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to take this in. Just
as it is, yeah, that's all I want you to do. I'll knit it in a moment. Just let us get this Mishnah clear. This is a Mishnah which comes up afterwards in the Gemara. Do you understand what we've learned till here?
No.
Just but
Rabbi
it's
Levin,
so
I think,
simple.
I think that the problem, maybe it has a problem with Mark has.
Yes.
Is, in this, I understand. I'm not sure how either konein or korban would be used in this context. In other words, I wouldn't anymore eat your food than I would eat a korban, right?
That's right.
And. But I don't understand the context.
You see, I don't want to go into what is known as hasposot, because it opens up a whole new thing, but I'm making it as simple as possible. As thou has got to be expressed clearly, I could say that all the wife could say that anything that I make I must be prohibited to you. But she wants to make it as a neder. And for a neder, there are terms that you use to make it as a neder. It's got to be clear. Nothing can be so clear if you say anything that I produce for you, it should be like a korban.
Okay, now I've got
that's all. And instead of using the word korban, she uses the word konein. Now, it's possible that I use the word konein, it's possible, because there's a whole Gemara on this. It's possible that they used the word konein. They didn't want to use such a word that's got kedusha attached to it. Korban's got kedusha attached to it. So they made what is known as a kinui. It's a kinui, konein. The word kinui is used for a nickname too. So the kinui for korban is konein. You know, you've got it in your festival prayer books. You haven't got one here. You haven't got one here.
Do you know that there has been...
It's in the Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre ve'esorei v'charomei v'konomos. That's the word v'konomos. Any vow that I've made, this word comes in there. Yes?
There is a Jewish organization in the last 5 years. it's one of the organizations calling for a binational secular state.
Yes. Not allowed to say, for example, I can't make. I can't say that man's, I want that man's position to be forbidden to you, because I've got no say over those positions. You follow? I've got no say over those positions. But there are two things that I can do. I can say I want my position to be forbidden to that man, and I can say I want that person's position to be forbidden to me. But that's all I've got the right to do. I can't go beyond that. But that is perfectly in order. What she says is, my earth, she says, I want these to be forbidden to my husband. Now, what is worrying you on that, Mr. Apostolic?
Because it's his action, not...
What do you mean it's his action?
She says you can't walk on this field.
Yes, it's his field.
Well, it's...
Oh, I see, because it's his action. No, all she says is you can act as much as you like. You can chew as much as you like, but not what is mine. That she's got a right. She says, I'm forbidding this. We're going to see how it's going to work out. That she can't do it, but for another reason altogether.
Not hers in the first
place. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing, because it's not hers. But what she says is konein, she wants this to be konein.
Just let's go a little bit further. Just let's go a little bit further in your God's question.
Hers may not be hers.
Konein says the Mishnah. If she says konein she'ani ose leficho, may that which I produce be forbidden to you. Says the Mishnah, go on please. Were you doing it, David?
Yes, I was.
Yes, this now, because we learned in the Mishnah, Konev, say it.
Konev, she ani.
Ose.
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 Lefiho.
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 Lefi.
Lefiho.
That's right. May that which I produce be like a korban to you. Then go on the next three words. Eino, not the eino, yes,
Tariqa,
Lohofeir. He doesn't have to disturb that vow. He doesn't have to annul that vow. Because the vow is void, is null and void before he begins. Why? Because her maisa, your deal, doesn't belong to her, it belongs to him. Now comes the important part. Rabbi Akiva Omer.
Rabbi Akiva Omer is your
fair. Rabbi Akiva says he must annul it. He must annul that, that vow. So the question is, why must he annul that vow? It doesn't belong to her. She can't make it. Rabbi Yaakov David, you understand the question? Why must he annul the vow? Doesn't belong to her. Says the why? Says Shemo. Shemo.
Shemo.
Ta'adif.
Ta'adif.
Olov.
Olav.
Yosef.
Yosef.
Min.
Horo'ui.
Lo. Perhaps she will produce in excess of that to which he is entitled. We have learned in the previous Mishnah to how much he was entitled. Do you understand? David, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you remember that we did in our warming up exercise that she has got to produce, what is the minimum she's got to produce? Five. If it's a chesi, the weight of five shkolim in Yehuda, that's what she's got to produce. What happens if she produces shevas, the weight of seven shkolim? So the two is the hadofo. So Rabbi Akiva says, if she says that which I produce should be co-named to you, says Rabbi Akiva, the husband must annul it. Why? Because it's possible that she's produced more than the requirement. Therefore, we must. So
it
we
have to belong to part of it.
So that we see that Rabbi Akiva's view is that it belongs to her, to him. So we see that Rabbi Akiva says. So now we see that Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her.
Right.
And since it belongs to her, that she's got the right to prohibit on it. So therefore, he's got to annul the vow. So but what do we see from this Mishnah? We see that Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that the hadofo belongs to her. So there we can tie it up. So if the hadofo, which in essence is an extension of Maisa Yodea, belongs to her, therefore, and one says that the Metzio is hers, it must be Rabbi Akiva who says that the Metzio belongs to her. That's all it is. David, do you follow what I'm saying? It's easy.
Yeah.
This isn't difficult.
I've got one question on it.
Yes. Just let us finish this and then you can ask.
Okay.
Answers the Gemara, Elo Eipach, says the Gemara. Therefore, says Robinary, change it round. Metzias o Isho Levalo. The Tano Kama says that the Metzias of the Isho belongs to her husband. The same as our Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva Umela Atzmo, and Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her. Says Rova, that is how it must have come down. That must be what the Mishnah, what the Brisa means. If we can't, it's not in any of these works, so we don't know exactly. It's a floating Brisa, but this is how it must have come down.
So essentially, the whole thing is that the Tomo Koma had it, simply had it, Eifok.
You must understand, Philip, he hasn't got documentary evidence for it. He just works it out. He says, I must tell you that it is. You follow? Now, I want to tell you that the Gorn made emendations on Mishnahs, on Mechilta's terrific emendations, and he never had a single manuscript by which to work on. I mean, emendations are made today, then they've got the manuscript in Munich, and they've got the manuscript in the Bodleian, and they've got some manuscripts in the British Museum, and they've got many. Sometimes people are working with five or six manuscripts, and they've even got a manuscript in that place in Rome. They've also got manuscripts there. Everywhere they've got manuscripts, you see, and they make emendations. The Gorn made his emendations without a single manuscript, just by his whole knowledge of the Torah, that it's got to be like that. And I believe that the world of scholarship in Judaism can't understand. Of course they can't understand, it's Judaism. They can't understand how it was possible that he didn't have any manuscripts, and they want to say he must have had somebody that went about to these places and looked up the manuscripts for him. They can't understand that that's a Gorn. I mean, that is a Gorn. He did without. That is exactly what Rava does. Rava says, look here, I can work it out for you. This is, you ask me, it doesn't sound right. I said, what sounds to me is the reverse. Reverse it and then it will sound right. That's what he says, without any manuscripts. All right. That's all it is. Now what do you want to ask?
If, according to what the Mishnah that's brought down.
Yes.
Okay. According to Betivu, says he has to be mafer the neder.
Yes, mafer the neder, yes.
Okay. Why? Because of the hardofa.
Because the hardofa belongs to her. Okay. There may be hardofa.
So if it belongs to her, then we're saying that even if it belongs to her, the husband can come along and be mafer the neder.
That's right.
And turn the neder around. For what purpose?
So that he can get
but it belongs to her.
But the other doesn't belong to her.
But the other thing,
yeah, that's quite right. Because a man doesn't want a wife to have a neder over it. What does that neder achieve? Exactly. Who said that? Very good. What does this achieve? The same shit.
So then why should our daughter belong to her? That's also going to make a katata.
We'll soon see.
That's the argument. That's it.
We'll soon see why the Adolfo belongs to her. We're going to soon see why the Adolfo belongs to her. We're not ready for it yet. Got to go a little bit further. The Adolfo came. Now, Rav Vin is a Moro from Babylon. And it says, when he came, where did he come?
To Eretz
Yisrael. May have been in Tveria, may have been in Usha, maybe there. When Robin came, that is to Jerusalem, Omar Rabbi Yochanan.
Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
Now just remember that Rabbi Yochanan is an Amoro. He's not a Tana. He is, probably the youngest disciple of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi. And he remained in Eretz Yisrael. And the Amoroim in Eretz Yisrael are called Rabbi as the Tanoim. And the Amoroim in Bobel are called Rab. Have you got it clear there?
Yes.
Right. He also, Robin, when Robin came to Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan said, the Hadafa Shilo al Yedei Hadafa.
Hadchak.
That the surplus, when it's without hadafa, I don't know what
that is. That is, without, she didn't pressurize herself into producing the surplus.
It didn't work all the time.
She didn't. She took it in her stride. Okay. She didn't. There was no pressure about it. She do it in her stride. You'll find some women do things in their stride. Mm-hmm. You know, you find women
they knit a crochet. You crochet. They will crochet a tablecloth. The most delicate work. And in a couple of months, the whole thing is ready. And you find another woman, she works 6 years, 7 years on it before it's ready. A couple of months. She's geschickt, as they say. She's just got it, got the gift of it, you see. So if it is Shelo al Yedei Achat, this is what Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi. The Hador for Shelo al Yedei Achat, in the Hador for that comes easily. Go on. Kuli Almo.
Kuli Almo, everyone would say, Lo Pligi, there's no disagreement.
The Baal Haba.
The Baal Haba, that it goes to the Baal.
There, that goes to the Baal. That kind of Hador for goes to the Baal. For example, in Goliel, instead of in Yehuda, she does, instead of making five shekolim weight, she made seven shekolim weight, but she did it all in a stride. There was no difficulty about it. Everybody agrees that that goes to the husband. Keep Ligi.
There is a disagreement, or there's a machlokus when the surplus came with the stress.
Like everybody agrees it belongs to the husband. Where?
2 years.
They know which he's got to give her. She gives him Maisa Yodeo. For the Pirkono, for her Pirkono.